When President Obama and Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai signed the Strategic Partnership Agreement in Kabul on May 1st, a statement was made that despite strong and rising popular opposition to the war, the U.S. would remain strategically and financially engaged for the foreseeable future. The symbolic nature of this ceremony had far-reaching consequences, as it demonstrated to the citizens of Afghanistan, to the Taliban, as well as other insurgents, Pakistan, and our international partners, that we were not going to cut and run, not this time. While our combat troops are being drawn down, a number of special forces and military advisors are expected to continue to have a presence. Moreover, Afghanistan will continue to be one of the largest recipients of U.S. development assistance. For these reasons alone, Afghanistan should not be relegated to the back page, but debated and tested. Last month, I, along with five other World Affairs Council leaders from across the country, traveled to Afghanistan, where we met with numerous U.S. and Afghan officials, including U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker, International Security Assistance Force Commander General John Allen, President Karzai, and numerous Afghan NGO leaders, students, and activists. Until this trip, I was a firm doubter of our continued presence in a country where too much money and too many lives have been sacrificed. Let us not forget that Afghanistan has led others to peril, including Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, the Brits, the Soviets. Why would our path be any different? While I'm not so bold to confidently predict success, I do believe that withdrawing prematurely is more risky than staying the course. We are at a critical juncture, a true turning point, where the difference between success and failure is razor thin. While al-Qaeda is on the run, recent events leave little doubt that the organization and its followers are hell-bent on delivering another horrific blow. If Afghanistan drifts back to civil war, al-Qaeda and other deadly insurgent groups will fill the vacuum. Ambassador Crocker addresses the importance of our mission.
It's three numbers, 9-1-1. 9-11 came out of Afghanistan over a decade ago, and we are fighting here to ensure that al-Qaeda and its hosts, the Taliban, never again have the opportunity, the time and the space to plan and execute attacks on the American homeland. What that means is both an ongoing military campaign against the Taliban, who very much want to be back in charge and are hoping to wait us out, while we strengthen the Afghan state, because we can't be here forever, but we have to have the confidence we're handing off to an Afghan state, Afghan security forces, that themselves are going to be able to ensure, again, no return of the Taliban, no return of al-Qaeda. But is it taking it a long time? Yes. Is it costing us a lot in blood and treasure? Yes. Is it cheaper than another 9/11? Yes.
Watching reports of Afghan citizens protesting in the street, coupled with the numerous instances of Afghan soldiers firing and killing NATO troops, does make one wonder whether or not we are wanted. I met with several Afghan women. Nasreen Gross is an Afghan-American women's rights activist who returned to Kabul in 2001. She now teaches at university. She's also the president of the Rogio Center for Women's Rights, where she encourages women to enter politics. I asked her why should the United States stay committed.
Listen, it's the way to endgame the Taliban. It's the only way. They refuse to accept that half of humanity exists. I mean women. And democracy is the one that says, no, men and women are equal. And most Afghans want to participate, both men and women, in the rebuilding of Afghanistan and making Afghanistan a modern country. We cannot remain in the dark ages and the rest of the world being in the 21st century. This is the only chance we have. Make no mistake, Afghans want America to stay and be engaged.
Good news is rarely reported, but there are significant signs of progress that would not be happening without heavy contributions from the U.S. and our international partners. In 2002, less than 900,000 students attended schools, and they were all boys. Today, 9 million children are in school and 38% are girls. Access to basic health care has jumped from 9% to 64%, and infant mortality has dropped by 22%. I spoke to Saida, a high school senior who has hopes for a better future.
No, I don't think so that we need someone's help to do something in our country. But in fact, we need our help, but we should do it by our own self. We should build our country. We should build our future. I believe it that we can do it.
Michael Smith is president of American University of Afghanistan, which has received substantial U.S. government and private support. Over 1,700 men and women study together, and not surprisingly, most major in business and accounting.
I can't think of a place I would rather be, and that may seem funny to people who are thinking about Afghanistan from the standpoint of what you see on television and so forth, which tends to pick up on the more negative or more disheartening kinds of parts of the situation here.
While Afghanistan will never look like Switzerland, Crocker describes the three conditions required to end the conflict.
But I would say, broadly speaking, a reconciliation process meets the three conditions the Afghan government has set and which we support. First, that to reconcile, the Taliban or members of the Taliban must have a complete break with Al-Qaeda, that they must completely cease and renounce violence, and perhaps most important, that they must agree to respect the Afghan constitution, including its protections for women and minorities. What that means is, in effect, they are de-Talibanized.
What we take for granted in the U.S. will be a monumental achievement for Afghanistan, one that will continue the process of fostering a stable country, inch by inch, day by day. Few U.S. diplomats are as seasoned and tested as Ambassador Crocker, yet he remains an optimist.
If I did not believe in the importance of our mission in Afghanistan and its achievability, I wouldn't be here. When the president asked, I didn't hesitate. I think this is our single most critical national security interest for the reasons I described, and I think the mission is achievable.